How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number, 877-973-7425. If you text ENGAGE to 33777, you can get tickets to the gathering coming up August 8th, 9th, and 10th in Atlanta, Georgia. Use discount code YR if you're a young professional. Get yourself a giant discount. I am excited to be on the program with you. Very happy to have you with me, and I'm happy to have your phone calls. We need to start not with the Republican convention. No, 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 no. There is big news afoot that we must begin with, and that is they're trying very, very hard to take out Joe Biden on the Democratic side. He's got COVID now. We don't know if he actually has COVID. However, the odds are actually pretty good he does have COVID. We don't know how severe it is. Now, why do I say the odds are good? Because Kamala Harris's husband was hanging out with Joe Biden a week and a half ago, and Kamala Harris's husband tested positive for COVID. So a week and a half ago, Kamala Harris's husband is hanging out on the White House balcony with Joe Biden, and he gets COVID. He's diagnosed with COVID like the day after he was with Joe Biden. And now Joe Biden supposedly has COVID after being at the NAACP event in Las Vegas, hanging out with them. He's gone to Delaware to recuperate. A lot of people are kind of suspicious. This may be some level of cover because we know this. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Hakeem Jeffries have now decided that it is time for an end to the Biden campaign. They have floated this out, and they are prepared to push Joe Biden out however much they can. Someone who hasn't learned this yet is Senator Padilla, who's still defending Joe Biden.
Joining us right now is Democratic Senator Alex Padilla from California. Senator, thank you so much
for
coming
Kate.
In. Adam Schiff,
absolutely,
who is running for the other Senate seat in your state, he has called on Biden to step aside. And now you have this reporting from the former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. You have stuck with Biden throughout, but do you think the walls are closing in around him now?
I do not, Kate. I mean, I have tremendous respect for Nancy Pelosi. Have a good relationship with my soon-to-be colleague, Adam Schiff. I just happen to disagree when it comes to their assessment. I'm not just looking at the numbers, looking at the polls. I'm talking to people as well. Here's what I take away. Number one, there's a big disconnect between the chattering class and the working class in terms of what's going on with this race. This is going to be a close race in November.
Well, there we have it. Let me see if I can pull this back up, folks. Sorry, we're having technical difficulties here all of a sudden.
In terms of what's going on with this race, this is going to be a close race in November, just as it was 4 years ago. But increasingly, people remember and recognize what's at stake in this election, not just the record and the leadership of President Biden and the Biden-Harris administration, but the contrast couldn't be clearer. And we're hearing it all week long at this Republican convention. You know, what's at risk should Donald Trump win this November? So, look, the polls show Joe Biden more than in the ballgame. What we need to do is make sure every Democrat is doing their part for the next 109 days, and we will win this November.
He sounds pretty confident. Nobody else in the Democratic Party is confident. Here's Jeff Zeleny at CNN.
And talking to a senior Democratic advisor tonight who is telling me this. He said he believes the president is being, quote, more receptive to these calls of concern. He goes on to say this. The private conversations with the Hill are continuing, this advisor tells me. He's being receptive, not as defiant as he is publicly. Goes on to saying, talking about Vice President Kamala Harris, who initially he wondered how she may fare in a campaign should it come to that. I'm told now he's asking questions, saying, do you think Kamala can win? Again, this advisor offers caution, saying this. It is still unclear where he's going to land, but he seems to be listening.
He seems to be listening. John Heilman at MSNBC. Interesting conversation here. Listen to this.
This is what it looks like when the Democratic leadership still trying to get Joe Biden to do what they believe is the right thing for the party, which is to step aside, still trying to only go public in a kind of oblique way, not calling a press conference, not issuing anything formal, but their patience is now exhausted.
Their patience is now exhausted. You can hear the conversation turning now on Morning Joe, that went from saying Biden needed to step aside to rah-rah rally around Joe Biden to now this.
The sobering message he got yesterday from congressional leaders and his biggest fundraiser was simple. We're losing, you're losing, and you're going to run out of money because the donors have left. So I don't know what those two or three in his inner circle are going to say to that. But the fact is, they don't know more than Nancy Pelosi,
right,
about polling. They don't know more about contributors than Jeffrey Katzenberg, who's dedicated a good chunk of, you know, the last decade to helping elect Joe Biden. And when you hear from congressional losers, we're losing.
Yeah.
You're losing.
Famous. Yeah.
And the donors have all abandoned you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter what people are saying on the inside.
Like I said.
You know, it doesn't really matter. Here's some Mika Brzezinski.
Point that you made a week ago, perhaps more, and that the Dems need to get it together. They really need to get whatever they've got going, whatever it is. The problem should not be our candidate. The focus should be on Donald Trump. You know, it may or may not be Joe Biden. I trust Joe Biden's abilities. I also trust Nancy Pelosi's political acumen. Nobody knows politics more than her.
Okay, one last clip here. This is Van Jones on CNN driving the point home.
There are a lot of people who want Biden to stay in. I want to just keep pointing out there's still grassroots love for Joe Biden. Everybody doesn't agree. But today is a terrible day. If you pull back and look at this thing, strength versus weakness. A bullet couldn't stop Trump. A virus just stopped Biden. You've got the nominees of this party getting their butts kissed. Biden's getting his butt kicked by his own party. The Democrats are coming apart. The Republicans are coming together. That's what's happening. And at some point, this party has to look at the reality of that. And
yeah. Let me just say, on Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, first and foremost, no one understands or feels more strongly about the threat that Trumpism represents than Nancy Pelosi. She faced it down as Speaker. And Nancy Pelosi is someone who first and foremost says, how do we win?
How do we win?
How are we going to win?
I'll tell you,
I think that's the message that she...
Now, this is all extremely notable because events are beginning to pick up steam. The Biden camp thought they could delay this, rush a virtual nomination, and hold on. And it was Biden's decision to rush a nomination that showed the Democrats they had to pick up steam with their effort. And in picking up steam with their effort, they're now trying to boot the sitting president of the United States. Now, pay attention to this, please. Because the Democrats have told us that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, and it is Democratic political leaders trying to force a coup on this president. They are trying to force him out of an election where he has won the primaries and gotten the nomination. So they're lecturing Americans on Trump being a threat to democracy. The democratic process spoke on their side, and now they're not, they don't like it, and they're trying to throw him overboard because he can't win. It's all about power for them. It's all about power. They can talk about threats to democracy, the democratic process with the democratic primaries, and they want to ignore the results. That's what's happening. It is very notable that this sort of thing is happening, and they are desperate. They see their internal polling. It has caused a panic. Now, here's the thing I've told you before about the polling. You've got to pay attention to this. You may doubt the public polling. The Democrats tend to believe the public polling. But the Democrats and Republicans together do major deep dive expensive polling. So a media poll may cost $10,000, $20,000 to do. A deep dive poll by the Democrats or Republicans costs $100,000. It's far more comprehensive, far more people touched, far more people reached, far more people questioned. It's deep and probative. And the Democrats seem quite panicked by what their internal polling is seeing. And their internal polling, because it's so comprehensive and so deep and so thorough, shows up quicker than public polling. The private polling can pick up trends faster than the public polling. The public polling has seen a slight shift to Donald Trump in the past few weeks, and this is pre-assassination shift. The Democratic internal polling is causing them to panic that there's no way Joe Biden can win. Here's a problem for the Democrats, though. A number of black voices on television over the past 48 hours have said it has to be Kamala Harris. If it's not Joe Biden, it has to be Kamala Harris. Go back to that first piece of audio I played you. Joe Biden with Jeff Zeleny is asking now, can Kamala do it? Can Kamala win? The polling, the Democrats' internal polling shows that anyone who has defended Joe Biden, anyone who has said he's okay, anyone who has covered for his decline is unpopular with the public, and that includes Kamala Harris, who participated in the cover-up of the decline of Joe Biden. That means that Joe Biden is probably going to be forced out. And that also means that with him, Kamala Harris will be forced out. If he goes at all, Joe Biden still has to make the decision. You know, I try to tamp down on conspiracy theories, and I don't think this is a conspiracy. It's just my guess of what's happening, is Jill Biden and Hunter Biden have extricated Joe Biden from Washington to Delaware to keep him inside the bubble, to convince him he can beat COVID so he can beat Donald Trump so that he stays in the race. And the Democrats increasingly know that only Joe Biden can get himself out of the race unless they have a very, very nasty fight at the Democratic convention. And they change the rules through sleight of hand, ignore the democratic processes, and they throw Joe Biden out of the race. Joe Biden needs to leave the race for the Democrats to win. Somebody's got to convince Joe Biden of that. His wife and son seem unwilling to try to convince him. And with his wife and son unwilling to convince him, Nancy Pelosi has tried. In fact, one of the more impressive things Nancy Pelosi did is apparently, according to press reports, when Joe Biden questioned the data, she got Mike Donilon on the phone. Mike Donilon is Joe Biden's longtime trusted aide, and got Mike Donilon to walk through the data so she could answer questions and Donilon could push back for Joe Biden. And from what everyone is being told, he didn't offer much of a pushback for the first time. He, being one of the key members of the inner circle who's convinced Joe Biden to stay in the race, didn't push back when confronted with Nancy Pelosi's data. She trying to make the case. And from what everyone is being told, myself included, the only reason we know about the Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, Nancy Pelosi meetings with Joe Biden is because Joe Biden has still refused to get out of the race, and they decided they needed to make it public to up the pressure on him. This is where the Democrats are, a united front on the Republican side and great divisions on the Democratic side. And the only way to get them back in the game is to get rid of Joe Biden. And the only person who can get rid of Joe Biden, short of God Almighty, is Joe Biden. And right now, he's starting to waver, and he just might leave. But it opens the door to who would replace him. And that's as nasty a fight as whether or not he leaves.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Credit where it's due. My buddy Tony Katz, who's on the radio up in Indiana, he's got a just put up this tweet from a listener of his. He says, Democrats have fully embraced LGBTQ. Let's get Biden to quit. Well played. Well played. And so true. There is breaking news happening right now. President Barack Obama has now told allies that President Biden's path to victory has greatly diminished, and he believes Joe Biden needs to step aside. This is breaking news from Michael Shearer at the Washington Post. Again, President Barack Obama has told allies in recent days that President Biden's path to victory has greatly diminished, and Joe Biden needs to seriously consider the viability of his candidacy and possibly step aside. Yep, the Democrats are doing everything they can now, rallying all the big dogs to get Joe Biden out of the race. They want to win. They are so scared of Donald Trump getting reelected. They are scared of losing their power. They're frankly, I think, to some degree, scared of what Republicans will find when they take over. So they're doing everything they possibly can. It's just really striking to see them being willing to throw Joe Biden under the bus. And weird, the way they've got to spin it, too. This is one of the problems for the Democrats. So the Democrats want us to believe that Joe Biden was completely A-OK until June 27th, and also that Joe Biden is one of the most successful presidents in American history, and a distinguished scholar and gentleman, and yet they want to shove him overboard. That's where we are. Joe Biden is the greatest president of the 21st century, save Barack Obama, one of the most productive presidents in American history, one of the presidents who accomplished the most, who was completely fine and normal until that debate, and now must be shoved aside. That's it. That's all of the lies together they wish to combine to then say, now we need to get rid of him. It's the same thought process that leads you to say Donald Trump is a threat to democracy and the next Hitler, but we're so glad that bullet missed him. It's the same leaps of logic in that sentence, and the Democrats are taking both tactics. Joe Biden is a great president. We need to shove him aside. Donald Trump is the next Hitler. We're so sorry that bullet. We're so glad that bullet missed him. This is where the Democrats are right now. Now, you may be thinking, well, there's foul air out there. I need to get rid of it. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack can generate you some O3 to wipe out those odors. Odors can't hide from ozone, and so you get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack by going to EdenPureDeals.com. Use discount code ERIC3, ERICK3. You can get three of them for less than $200, and you save $200, EdenPureDeals.com, and then you wipe out odors. You can plug it into the wall, or you can plug it in with a USB cord. And it just works. It generates O3, and it gets in the cracks and the crevices where the odors hide and grabs them and wipes them out. I've had hotel rooms that use it when there are fireplaces. Dirty diaper smell. Oh, it gets rid of dirty diaper smell. Litter box odors. You name it. It just works. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3, ERICK3. You'll get three of them. They're filterless. You don't need a filter subscription. You'll save $200. You'll get them for less than $200. They just work. They're small enough you can keep it in your travel bag. I literally do. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code ERIC3, ERICK3. Go check them out today.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you'd like to be on the program, I gotta tell you, I did not watch the convention live last night. I tend not to. I like to go back and watch later. I was actually, so my son is extremely interested in architecture and building. And my buddy Vince is a home builder. There's a development south of Atlanta called Serenby. And so he invited us to come up and took my kid through the houses he's building up there and looked at blueprints. And we went to dinner up there. Super nice place. It was great. It's all a bunch of libs who live there. I didn't get recognized by anybody. It's a very nice development. Very nice development. One day I want Vince to build my house. But nonetheless, so I had to go back and watch J.D. Vance's speech. I was getting lit up in text messages by a great many people, and it was a good speech. I know how it works, that the base of party is like, this is the greatest thing ever. This is better than a Krispy Kreme donut. Oh, my gosh, I wish I could eat this speech. It's just so delicious. And it was a good speech. It was an interesting speech in that he wanted to make it clear he represents a faction of the party. And in the faction of the party, he intends to win for that faction of the party. J.D. Vance clearly does represent a faction of the party. And in fact, the thing about J.D. Vance you have to understand, and one of the reasons I think J.D. Vance is a significant vice presidential pick, is because J.D. Vance is really the first young major politician in the GOP who came to rise in the Trump GOP. There are plenty who got elected into office, but they were in the GOP before that. Vance really wasn't, and he really thoroughly embraces the revised Republican Party that is more protectionist, less internationalist, more regulation friendly, less free market friendly. And he's selling himself as, I'm open to hearing the arguments of the other side, but this is the side I'm on. And the way things are going, unless the Democrats can figure out their path, he probably is going to be the vice president. And behind the scenes in the GOP, there's a whole lot of angst about it among the old guard, not the establishment. Trump is the establishment of the party. It's very clear in D.C., but the people who used to be the establishment and now the outsiders, they're a little bit nervous about the Vance selection. I think you probably need to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. A lot of people are like, he's an opportunist. He said bad things about Donald Trump, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So did I. I just gave Donald Trump $1,000 the other day for his reelection campaign. Had some guy email me this morning and say, why do you not like Trump? I just gave him a lot of money, more money than the guy who emailed me gave him. So we'll get him across the finish line, and I can continue to agree to disagree at times and say so, much to the angst of my audience. I've never been a cheerleader. I was criticizing George W. Bush when all the people right now who hate George W. Bush loved George W. Bush, and I was like, the guy's not a conservative. People were mad at me then. They can be mad at me now. I call it as I see it, and right now I see a path to victory that I would prefer as opposed to having the Democrats continue in charge. And part of that path to victory involves J.D. Vance. Whether he and I agree or not on things, we had a nice chat about this the other day. We know each other. We were texting back and forth. And this is part of his speech that I think resonates with the American people.
I grew up in Middletown, Ohio. A small town where people spoke their minds, built with their hands, and loved their God, their family, their community, and their country with their whole hearts. But it was also a place that had been cast aside and forgotten by America's ruling class in Washington. When I was in the fourth grade, a career politician by the name of Joe Biden supported NAFTA, a bad trade deal that sent countless good jobs to Mexico. When I was a sophomore in high school, that same career politician named Joe Biden gave China a sweetheart trade deal that destroyed even more good American middle-class manufacturing jobs. When I was a senior in high school, that same Joe Biden supported the disastrous invasion of Iraq. And at each step of the way, in small towns like mine in Ohio or next door in Pennsylvania or Michigan, in states all across our country, jobs were sent overseas and our children were sent to war.
That's J.D. Vance. A powerful message noting that when he was a kid, and this is the strong contrast, when he was a kid, Joe Biden was in Washington voting for the policies that destroyed his community and sent him off to war. Joe Biden voted for the Iraq War. J.D. Vance fought in the Iraq War. Now, I'm a free market guy, and here's where J.D. and I disagree a little bit. I don't think you can bring those manufacturing jobs back in a way that benefits Americans, because the cost of labor in this country is so much higher that the price of the goods and services would be so much higher. It would provoke a level of inflation, and people wouldn't be able to buy the goods and services. It doesn't mean we need to keep them in China. We should be sending them to countries where there is cheap labor to manufacture cheaper things for us. Part of the issue is government industrial policy created Potemkin villages out of a lot of American industrial towns where they looked strong, but they really weren't. And NAFTA could have been worked slightly better. It wasn't a perfect deal. The China deal should have never happened. We did it to try to co-opt the Chinese, and instead they co-opted us. But free trade actually lowers prices and creates more jobs around the world. And that stabilizes things. JD wants a government industrial policy. I do not think the people who can't deliver the mail and can't keep Donald Trump safe are competent enough to set any sort of industrial policy that benefits the United States. I think we need less government, not more. We disagree on that. He's in the driver's seat right now, though I'm not. And I would prefer him and Donald Trump to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. One more line from his speech.
President Trump's vision is so simple and yet so powerful. We're done, ladies and gentlemen, catering to Wall Street. We'll commit to the working man.
Look, there I agree with him. We may have different ideas on how to do it, but Wall Street is not our friend. And this, I think, is the heart of where J.D. Vance and I agree. Calvin Coolidge, who I actually think was the best president, more so than Ronald Reagan. Calvin Coolidge is a famous quote. The role of the government is to level the playing field between the people and business. One of the things Republicans and Democrats in Washington have done is they've stacked the deck in favor of big business. The bigger the business, the better off they are. The thing that you're supposed to have in a free market is something we don't have anymore, which means we don't really have a free market. The free market is premised on the idea of creative destruction of the marketplace. Now, what that means is that David should be able to slay Goliath. And when Goliath falls, David has the opportunity to become Goliath. But not just David, those around Goliath. Instead, what happens is, without David ever being able to throw a rock, the government surrounds David and prevents David from being able to take out Goliath. And when Goliath stumbles, the government props him up so he can't fall. That's the market we have right now. That's not a free market. That is a technocratic market. The technocrats are incompetent morons. We've seen the technocrats in charge during COVID. We've seen the technocrats in charge of the security for Donald Trump, and the technocrats are blithering idiots. The technocrats believe that we should trust them by virtue of their position, not by virtue of their competence, which they don't have. And they mock and excoriate Americans with more competence and more know-how than the technocrats. We saw that during COVID. Every single one of you knew. And I don't care where you stand on masks. I don't care where you stand on vaccines. I don't care about that. And I don't want to relitigate that. It's actually, I think people have simplified it way more on both sides. But every last one of you knew when you went into a store and there was a plexiglass panel between you and someone else, that plexiglass panel that was completely surrounded by nothing was not going to protect any of you from the virus spreading. Every single one of you knew, every one of you, regardless of where you stand on masks or the vaccine, knew standing 6 feet apart to stop the spread wasn't going to stop the spread. Every single one of you knew that. But those are the things that the bureaucrats insisted we do. And we all knew they weren't going to work. It's like the Trump attempted assassination. We're finding out now that they knew 10 minutes before he went on stage the security threat existed and they did nothing. And of course, people are looking at that saying, well, this is clearly then they intended for him to die. No, I think it's just this is how stupid these people are. These are blithering idiots. They have their position and think we should trust them by virtue of their position, not because of the virtue of their competence. And that gets me back to J.D. Vance and the Wall Street versus Main Street. Wall Street exists largely on subsidy from the federal government right now. If anything, Wall Street existed well because of zero interest rates. And Wall Street is more and more in turmoil now because of interest rates that are 5% and higher. Normal economic times are 4 to 5% interest rates. Now, follow along with me here. This isn't that complicated, but you got to understand it. A lot of people on fixed income for a long time relied on CDs and interest-bearing accounts where they could get 5 or 6% investment guaranteed just by virtue of having their money parked somewhere safe. When interest rates went to 1%, they couldn't make any money. These were retirees. Wall Street was able to buy up a lot of businesses and gamble away people's lives, destroy people's homes, and private equity was allowed to thrive. And private equity, their function and their role was money was the product. They buy up businesses, saddle them with debt, and then walk away from them once the debt got too much, but they would make money in the process. They would take companies like Red Lobster, and they would separate Red Lobster from the land on which the restaurants were owned, and then they would charge rent for the restaurant from their new LLC that owned the land, and the business went out of business. And now they'll sell the land for more money. They'll make a lot of money. How many people are now deprived of a Red Lobster to eat at? How many Red Lobster employees are now deprived of a business to work at? That was private equity that did that. Private equity is not necessarily a good thing. When your good or service that you're producing is money for your shareholders and not jobs and opportunity for Americans, you're not actually any better than the socialists. And J.D. Vance and I agree on that. His solutions and are between me and him, I think, differ. I want to simplify the tax code, get rid of regulations, and make sure every business knows that when you go belly up, no matter how big you are, the government's not going to prop you up, whether you're GM or a bank. We're going to allow the small businesses and the entrepreneurs to pick through the pieces of the rubble and build something newer, better, and more stable. That's the free market. And we haven't been allowing it to work since the financial meltdown of 2008. We haven't allowed the free market to work. We've been protecting big business. And as every one of you who studied basic economics knows, when you keep bailing out these big businesses instead of letting them fall and go bankrupt, you create moral hazard where more and more businesses think, hey, they're going to protect me too. If I make stupid mistakes and go bankrupt, they'll bail me out too. The only way to stop the stupid mistakes from being made is to say, we're not going to bail you out. The creative destruction of the marketplace has to return. And to the extent J.D. Vance says we need to be a party of Main Street, not Wall Street, absolutely. Wall Street is not your friend. When Wall Street gets into the idea that the good or service to be produced is money, not an actual good, not an actual service, but money for the shareholders of the private equity group, yeah, it gives the whole idea of Wall Street a bad name. And we have overcorrected in one direction, and I'm with J.D. Vance that we need to correct in the other direction. My concern is on abandoning the free market when actually I think we need to get back to the free market, not further away from it. But I'm intrigued to see where all this plays out. Speaking of the free market, Old Glory Bank exists because of the free market. What progressives have done is they bought up shares in other banks. And they then use their clout within those banks to embrace DEI and ESG and pushing banks to cancel problematic conservatives' bank accounts. Old Glory Bank decided to rise up conservatives for conservatives and say, we're going to be the uncancelable bank. And in fact, they innovatively allowed people to buy shares in their bank to avoid being publicly traded on Wall Street for progressives to take over them. So they're a bank by conservatives, owned by conservatives, for conservatives, invested by conservatives. You can get a free checking account, a free savings account. You can get CDs. You can get mortgages, whatever you need from Old Glory Bank. They are a real bank, and they're highly innovative. Their app is fantastic. I am not only a customer now, I'm one of the investors now in Old Glory Bank. I was one of the people who participated. I want to make sure there's a bank for conservatives and by conservatives, and that's Old Glory Bank. If you want a bank account with Old Glory Bank, you go to oldglorybank.com, oldglorybank.com. You get an account online for yourself or your kid, in less than 8 minutes. You can even deposit cash, even though it's online bank. They're highly innovative. You can deposit cash at Old Glory Bank at 88,000 retail locations around the country. They've made it super easy. OldGloryBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show.
Be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Greetings. This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. Wherever your business is nationwide, First Liberty can help you grow. Reach out to them, firstlibertyga.com. They can process loans pretty quick for equipment loans. If you're buying a building, if you're buying a franchise, they want to help you, firstlibertyga.com. All right, I want to take a quick phone call here. I want to go to Greg. You're up first. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. You know, your commentary this morning on incompetence got me to thinking. One of your tenets is people are stupid, right?
Yep.
All right. You put them in groups, their collective IQ goes down. The bigger the group, the worse it gets. Plus, you also get decision paralysis. Mm-hmm. Perfect example, the assassination attempt this weekend. Perfect example of decision paralysis. You add in bureaucracy, which is unaccountability and gobs of money, and it begins to get really dangerous.
Yep.
So the ultimate threat to our republic and democracy is the government bureaucracy. The Trump administration, if they want to change things, this next administration has to cut the size of government. It's not words like deep state. It is cutting the size of government. And you have the economist, chief economist Brian Westbury at First Trust Portfolios has been saying for years, the economy is a pie. And the more government takes of that pie, the smaller the pie. Look at Europe. You can't get GDP over 2% in Europe. The more we let free markets work, the smaller the government as a part of society, the more economic growth and prosperity we will have. But you got to cut this government bureaucracy. It is just, it's a wet blanket killing everybody everywhere.
Yeah. Amen on that. And look, for everybody who doesn't understand what Greg's meaning about decision paralysis, think of you got a family, you got multiple kids, and you ask the question, what's for dinner? How long does it take you to decide what's for dinner? The more kids you have, the longer it takes you to decide what's for dinner, unless you just are like the absolute leader and says, this is what we're having for dinner, take it or starve, which the government doesn't do and a lot of families don't do. And it's, I don't know, what do you want? Food? What sort of food? Well, the type of food that you eat. What sort of food that you eat? The type of food that's good. That's what happens in my house. So that happens in a lot of houses. That's decision paralysis.
That is the perfect example. I've got a group of friends, 12 of us, and if we all get together to go out, that is exactly what happens.
Greg, I got to leave it there. We got
exactly what happens.
But Greg, that's it. Decision paralysis. Who's going to cover the roof? You're going to cover the roof. I'm not covering the roof. You're covering the roof. I'm not covering the roof. Let's find somebody else to cover the roof. That's what happened.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.